What would you do if you were one of the wealthiest people in the world, but you suddenly lost it all? How would it impact your life? Would it really matter as much as you think?
Join us as we explore this idea on today's program. Good morning and happy Wednesday, and welcome to Wake Up with Hope. First of all, we want to say thank you for each one of you for faithfully waking up with hope every weekday. You know, today is International Thank You Day, and we can't forget to specially thank you.
That's true. We are so appreciative of all of our viewers, and expressing gratitude to others is a wonderful way to lift someone's spirits and also recognize how much others truly mean to us.
So true. You know, studies have also shown that expressing gratitude is associated with several mental and physical benefits, including improved sleep, mood, and even immunity. And of course, depression and anxiety are also positively impacted. How important it is to go around life with the heart of gratitude and praise.
You know, in Psalm 86, verse 12, it says, I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will gratify and glorify your name forever. Most of all, how important is it for us to take time every day, throughout the day, to have an attitude of praise towards our Creator God.
So today we challenge you to praise God. When you feel like complaining or expressing disappointment, praise Him. Because in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, He has promised to work out everything for our good. Now let's kick off our jam-packed program for the day by taking a look back at this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1989, after 8 years as President of the United States, Ronald Reagan gave his farewell address to the American people. In his speech, President Reagan spoke with particular enthusiasm about the foreign policy achievements of his administration. Reagan declared that America rediscovered its commitment to the world freedom in the 1980s, that the United States was respected again in the world and looked to for leadership. The key, according to the president, was a return to common sense that told us that to preserve the peace, we'd have to become strong again after years of weakness.
You know, Reagan emphasized returning to common sense and working to preserve peace was the key to freedom. In a sense, this idea really extends beyond the earthly sense. You see, in Jesus, true freedom is within our reach. When we recognize that without Jesus, we are missing out on true happiness, well, common sense would lead us to seek Him and follow Him. When we realize that without Jesus, we are stuck in the bondage of sin, the only reasonable thing to do is to seek freedom in Christ. You see, He's waiting with arms wide open to let us come to Him and be set free. Let us come to Him today, friends.
Amen. Water, water, water. This essential substance is critical for us to have life. But what does it really do for us, and how crucial is it really? Well, our friends from Loma Linda Health's Live It are here to share.
Think about how much water you drink in a typical day.
Would you drink more water if you knew it would reduce your risk of heart disease by half?
About 40% of people in this country die of cardiovascular disease. So it is a serious disease that develops over many, many years. And the good news is it is preventable.
Heart disease is caused when any blockage in your arteries keeps the heart from receiving enough blood.
The buildup of plaque can result from risk factors like smoking, high cholesterol, and high blood pressure.
This Loma Linda University health study followed 34,000 Californians over 15 years.
Both men and women who drank 5 or more glasses of water per day had about half the risk of dying of coronary heart disease.
And that's the simple tip for the day.
Drink at least 5 glasses of water every day to lower your risk for heart disease.
You can spice it up with some lemon, lime, or orange slices.
Herbal teas without sugar have also shown a similar effect on lowering your risk of heart disease.
But remember, drinks like juice and soda are high in sugar and won't give us the benefit of lowering your risk of heart disease.
There's your simple tip for the day on how you can live healthier longer.
Imagine being wealthy, then losing everything. Why did Jesus say life does not consist in the abundance of things? And why did he say it? In this program, we delve into the nuances of a famous painting to discover the most important issues in life.
Rembrandt knew what it was like to be rich and live a lavish lifestyle. He also knew what it was like to go bankrupt and lose the lot. He painted the parable of the rich fool, which now hangs in the Berlin Museum. This work is based on a story where Jesus said, "Life does not consist in the abundance of things." So let's take a look at the painting. Here we find a rich man thoughtfully examining one of his golden coins. It's nighttime, and the room is illuminated by a single candle. We see papers and Hebrew books stacked all around him. Now, when Rembrandt painted this, a stack of books was a symbol of pride. There's a set of scales, and there's more coins on the desk. Everything's telling us this proud man is totally focused on his money. So let's delve into the story. Jesus told his listeners about a man who grew a bumper crop of grain. The trouble was, he had nowhere to store it. So instead of helping other people, he decided to build bigger barns. Then he could have years' worth of grain. He could retire. In this story that Jesus told, there are 11 references to how this rich fool focused on himself. He said, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" Jesus said, "You fool, tonight you'll die, and who'll get your money then?" Then the clincher. Jesus said, "So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." So what does it mean to be rich toward God? The Bible says, "Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share." It's no wonder Augustine said, "The rich fool didn't realize the bellies of the poor were much safer storerooms than his barns." So what's the key message of this painting? Be content. It's much better to give than gather. After all, once you die, money's of no use. But living for God and helping other people, well, that's worth everything.
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on YouTube to check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us.
When we return, we will have Doctor's Orders and music by Stephen Adetumbi. Don't go anywhere.
Honey, how did you sleep?
Oh, not very well. I need a caffeine fix.
Didn't those sleeping pills work?
Oh, not at all. I had this vivid dream that really scared me.
Scared you?
Yes, this voice kept shouting at me, "Someone's trying to kill you, someone's trying to kill you."
Who could be trying to kill you?
I don't know, but I don't have time to think about it right now.
Oh, really? Well, what time are you heading out to work? Oh, hang on.
Hey, yes, is that my boss?
He's just here. Just a
don't
moment.
Tell him I'm not here.
You have to take it.
Okay. Yeah. 20 minutes. Yeah, I told you I'll be there in 20 minutes. Okay. All right. Man, I don't know who's trying to kill me, but this stress is just too much for
me.
Why,
what have you got on today?
Oh, I've got those 6 meetings this afternoon and 4 deadlines this morning. Oh, and by the way, I won't be home for dinner tonight because I've... Hey, where are my cigarettes and my lighter?
Here. Well, what do you mean you're not going to be home? I was going to do steak and eggs for dinner and
don't
I had some nice cheesecake for dessert.
Don't worry.
What are you going to eat?
Oh, I'll go buy McFast food. I'll get a burger and fries and a Coke. And hey, while I'm there, maybe I'll try to figure out who's trying to kill me.
But you're so tense. I'm worried. I hate to think what your blood pressure is with all this stress.
Don't worry. I'll have my stiff drinks this afternoon. I'll take my antidepressants. And hey, you know what? Those things will probably calm me down enough. I'll be able to try to figure out who's trying to kill me.
Oh, I hope you're going to take some sleepers tonight to sleep.
I will.
Okay. Don't live like this or you'll die like this. Doctor's orders.
How are we saved? Is it by our works? Faith? Grace? Though these are all necessary, Ephesians 5 reminds us that it is only as we take hold of God's grace that we can obtain salvation. Consider this as you listen to Stephen Adetumbi sing, By Grace.
His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them, we should walk in created in Christ Jesus
unto good works,
which God hath before ordained, that we should walk.
If you're enjoying today's program, be sure to share with your friends. They can visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup. You have to pause for a quick break, but after the break, we're going to have today's devotional thought by Pastor John Bradshaw.
Welcome back, friends.
John Bradshaw from It Is Written is with us here today to share a devotional thought.
It was January in 1986. I'll never forget arriving at my place of work, and the receptionist sitting out front was reading the newspaper. So the front of the newspaper was facing towards me as I walked in. And I noticed on the front page of the newspaper a photograph of I did not know what. It looked like it might have been a photo of a swan. Maybe it was taken on the lake over there where lots of swans were, and perhaps the newspaper was putting a decorative nature picture on the front page for some reason. But as I got closer, Tracy, her name was, said, "Did you hear about the accident?" I did not. I'd worked overnight. I'd slept during the day. I said, "What accident is this?" And she pointed to the picture on the front cover of the newspaper. I took a look, and it was tragically the Space Shuttle Challenger breaking apart after only 72, 73 seconds above ground. It was a colossal disaster. Of course, everybody on board died, including the Vermont school teacher, Krista McAuliffe, whose parents were watching the takeoff. Ronald McNair, there's a great story about Ronald McNair I'll tell you sometime. Complete disaster. Well, it came out after that disaster that there'd been some engineers warning the authorities that the O-rings on the booster rockets, I think they were prone to fail. NASA's number said they would fail maybe one in a million, one in 100,000, but this more careful, perhaps, evaluation said that there was a great likelihood they would fail, particularly if the temperature was low. Now, it was January the 28th in Florida. You wouldn't think the temperatures would get down too low, but they did that day, down to about 32, down to about freezing. And the O-ring, just a rather simple thing, failed. And that led to a catastrophic series of events that ultimately led to the breaking up of the Challenger and the loss of many lives and a major shake for the national psyche and, of course, much grief in many upended families. But you can't help asking the question, what if they listened to the warnings? What if they'd done something about those O-rings and prevented the tragedy from happening in the first place? What if? Now, looking backwards, looking into the past is only so helpful. Aristotle, the philosopher, quoted Agathon, the Athenian poet who lived in the 400s BC, as saying something very much like this: even God cannot change the past. Now, that's a translation, but that's how Aristotle quoted the poet. Even God cannot change the past. We look to the past, don't we? Gavrilo Princip, the man who shot dead the Archduke Franz Ferdinand and his wife, that event leading to the start of World War I. Now, World War I is often said to be the cause of World War II. So if Princip hadn't shot the Archduke, perhaps World War I wouldn't have happened, then maybe World War II wouldn't have happened, and the Cold War wouldn't have happened. Man, if only that guy hadn't fired that gun. Well, you can't undo the past. Remember what the poet said: even God cannot change the past. But let's think about this. Agathon, of course, was right that the past is the past and doesn't get altered. But I think he was wrong, because even though God won't change your past, he's able to do something about your past. Let me read to you from the book of Isaiah. This might take me a moment to find. Nope, there it is. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25. Before we read, let's think about the past. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So as we speak right now, there's not one of the two of us who doesn't have something about his or her past that he wishes he or she could change. We all have a past. There's shame and there's regret and there's pain and there's anguish and there's words spoken that you can't unspeak. There are deeds done that you cannot undo, but we all wish it were possible to do something about that. And there are some people that have made an absolute mess of their lives. You cannot go back and redo the thing. What's done is done. You cannot change the past. What about your past and your regrets? You might not be able to change that, but here's where Agathon didn't get it 100% right. Isaiah 43, verse 25. Even I, this is God speaking, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Oh, think about that. God doesn't say they'll never have happened, although he does in another place say that he'll forget your iniquities. But what God says is, I will blot them out. I'll take care of your past, and in so doing, I'll give you a hopeful future. Now, this isn't God saying he's going to go back and undo the eruption of Mount Vesuvius, which happened in 79 AD. No, that happened, and that's just that. God isn't going to say, well, let's go back and rewind the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, or any other thing that you might care to think about. God doesn't say, okay, you committed this terrible act, I'm going to undo that, and history will think that it never happened. What God does is he says, your past is your past, but I'm going to work with your past and give you a hopeful future. This is just an amazing thing. However your day is going so far, you can say, you know, my yesterday, whatever it was like, God chooses to blot out my transgressions. And in so doing, he sets me up for a day in which I don't have to repeat them. I can learn from them. I can have hope. I can be hopeful. I can be a new person. We're learning, at least that's the plan, to live with God more and more closely. With each day we grow, we grow, we grow. The idea is that we learn from our mistakes. God forgives them. We grow through them. There'll come a time when you won't need forgiveness for some of the dumb mistakes you made in the past because you won't make them in the future, those same mistakes. That drug addict or alcoholic or cattle rustler can learn from the error of his or her ways and say, from here on, no more of that. So we grow, we grow, we learn to grow more and more with God. It's a little bit like those trees. You see them growing near fences and the tree grows around the fence ends up in the tree. You've seen that sort of thing. It's what happens with us and God as we grow. The past, maybe as much as we would wish we could, we just can't change. That terrible space shuttle catastrophe, 1986. We can't pretend it didn't happen because it did, and it's always going to have happened. So that's in the history books. Your bad days might be likewise in the history books. But this is the wonderful thing about God. The Bible promises that God would forgive us. Remember 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Amazing. Blot out, like as with a thick cloud, your transgressions. And that verse in 1 John goes on to say, and God will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. No matter your past, in Jesus Christ, you have a hopeful future, which means that you have a hopeful today. You don't need to allow the mistakes you made yesterday to define you today. They shouldn't, they mustn't, but ultimately you get to decide. If you want them to, then in your mind they will, but not in God's mind. God says, what was yesterday like? Maybe it wasn't so great. Today can be a better day, and the next day, and your future can be bright. God doesn't change the past, but he does something about the past. He cleans your past up. He forgives you and gives you a bright and glorious future. Hey, have a great day today. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Pastor John.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope and spending your morning with us. We enjoyed our time together.
And don't forget to join us tomorrow. We'll be right here with music by Jacqueline Jewell and touch on an important topic, idols of the heart, and so much more. Be sure to join us.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study. We are sure our free Bible studies will be such a blessing to you in your life.
Well, we can't leave without sharing our daily Bible promise. Today it's found in Psalm chapter 23, verse 4.
It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You know, friends, no matter what valley you're walking in today, trust in God. Take hold of his promises to uphold you, to strengthen you, to carry you through. No matter what you face, look up. This is the one who has promised that he will be with us. He will lead you to victory. You will be a conqueror.
Amen. And that is a promise. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Stay happy and blessed.
Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, How thankful we are, Lord, that we had the time and opportunity today to receive all that you had for us through Wake Up With Hope this morning. Thank you so much, Lord, for the music, for the biblical content and reflections. Thank you for the practical information. And we just pray, Lord, that you would keep all these things in our hearts, that we would lose nothing, and that we would keep it all in our hearts and be able to just grow in grace, grow in faith, and increase in hope. And we thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.